Hello and welcome back to another episode of Off the Rails, the Millennials podcast, where we go off on tangents, talking all things music, books, and what we're obsessed with from week to week. Off the Rails is part of the Off the Record Network. I'm your co-host, Madeline, and with me today is my co-host, Imogen.
Hello. How are you today? Or how have you been this week?
Well, it's a very dreary Sunday, but I kind of like this dreary Sunday. My day off from everything day. It's my gin and tonic day.
It's been my catching up day today. I don't know where the week's gone. I had a week supposedly of work and it's just run away with me.
I feel like lockdown has been the quickest year ever.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's true.
Like, it's very, very strange of, we've gone through a pandemic. I finally got my first jab.
Yay, finally.
And it's just gone by really, really quick.
It's so true.
Yeah. Like, I understand now, like, when I used to ask, like, my grandparents of, like, their World War II stories. Not that I'm comparing this to World War II. Well, they would never want to speak about their 20s.
Yeah, you're like, let's not talk about it ever again.
Yeah, if my children and grandchildren are like, so what was life like when you was, like, 23, 24? I'd be like, it's John Lennon's lost weekend. We don't talk about it.
We don't talk about it. You're so right. Have you been up to anything interesting this week?
Oh, so
apart from vaccination.
I made my jumper.
Oh yes, your exciting knitting project.
Yeah. My jumper has three arms. Well, I just made the neck a bit too long.
Interesting.
And it just very much reminds me of, like, really early 2000s, like, Disney kid throwback, when the London Tipton makes Maddie a jumper for Christmas and she's like, what on earth is this? It's that. So I've decided that knitting is my thing. So instead, I've seen on, like, quite a popular thing on Etsy, or I think it's like London Borough Market jewellery trend, new clay earrings.
Oh, that's cool.
So I bought my own Make Your Clay earrings because I thought, oh, if I can't make a jumper, I can make earrings.
You can make clay earrings.
I can make clay earrings. So I've ordered my kit. We'll see.
That's exciting.
We'll see if this is my destiny craft. If not, I guess I'll start, like, I don't know, collaging? I don't know.
Move on to the next kind of DIY thing.
Yeah, I so wish I could be one of these people that buy houses and flip houses. But I can't even buy a one bedroom, like, studio apartment. So that will happen for a while. What else have you been doing to keep yourself busy this week?
Well, it's been my week off. So I, like, went to the countryside and didn't have any Wi-Fi, which was so nice, actually. Like, just being able to, like, basically not, like, very much the olden days, basically not being able to stream Netflix. And it was actually just so nice to, like, get away and kind of properly disconnect. But then I think I've definitely run ragged by, like, coming back to London and being like, right, I need to have a plan every day.
Yeah.
And then I've been like, oh my God, where's this week gone? And also exhausted by Sunday. But, you know, life goes on.
Country life is very different to London life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was nice, like, just, like, we, like, played Harry Potter, like, trivia games and watched Harry Potter every evening. I was like, I'm a child again and I love it. It was just so nice and refreshing.
So generically British.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, should we get into, like, this week's topic?
I think we shall.
So we kind of wanted to do a little bit of a rundown of, like, now that travel's opening up and people are able to travel around, kind of our guide as UK citizens to London as the main hotspot, which I feel like everyone comes over to visit for, like, long weekends and stuff, and our sort of insider's guide of what we think you should be going to see and do while you're here. Obviously some of these will be, like, very generic suggestions, but got to be done. So giving our 2 cents. So in terms of, like, what would you think are your, like, must-dos?
I'd done one must-do the other week as lockdown sat to ease of, I love Julia Roberts, I love Hugh Grant, I love them both in Notting Hill. And do you know how disappointed I was to discover that Notting Hill Bookshop doesn't exist?
There is a Notting Hill Bookshop.
Is it? Is
yeah,
it
there is one.
Is it the one that's in the film?
It's like, it's called the Notting Hill Bookshop. I'm not sure if it's exactly the one on the film, but it's very similar to it.
Yeah, because I was searching it. I was like, I want my Julia Roberts. I'm just the girl moment. And I was like, where is this place? So yeah, Notting Hill. Besides that, lovely markets. I like a good Notting Hill charity shop.
I mean, Notting Hill's one of my favourite areas in London. Like, the Saturday and Sunday markets are so fun and so vibrant. There's always so many food things to buy. That's why usually I get loads of vinyl. It's just really fun just to wander down Portobello Road and kind of sample all the goodness. There's a really good bun place called Buns at Home. It's so good. And there's a whole load of little bakeries down there, like Fabrique, and loads of places like that. So Notting Hill is definitely on my list.
Yeah, I really like Notting Hill. And I think they do, obviously there hasn't been a festival this year, but the general Notting Hill festivals.
Notting Hill Carnival is amazing.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's just a lot of fun. Like, it's such a vibrant and cool and unique festival that I feel like doesn't, it's just a complete enigma in its own right.
Where else? So I imagine that you'd spend the morning in Notting Hill. Where would you go after that?
So I think if I was landing on like a Friday evening, I'd go out for cocktails in Soho in the evening. There's so many cool places in Soho as well. Like Kingly Court and Carnaby Street area, I feel like are must-dos. So you can go and eat in Kingly Court. There's a place called the Ugly Dumpling, which is really fun. And just like loads of eateries around there. And then I'd go for cocktails somewhere like Cahoots or somewhere like that. Fun round Soho, and then probably get an early evening. Early evening in lockdown, let's say that. Saturday, I'd wander around Notting Hill. And then from Notting Hill, you can kind of, because Notting Hill's obviously on the west of London, so I'd probably then walk through Hyde Park, the Serpentine, then go into like Kensington and Chelsea. There's a whole load of museums in that area down that strip. So there's the V&A, the Science Museum, the Natural History Museum, and they're just all really cool, beautiful buildings. And the V&A has always got amazing exhibitions. Like, there's an Alice in Wonderland exhibition at the moment that I really want to go to.
I love the V&A. V&A is my favourite ever museum because Tate will obviously just do a lot of modern art, very like up for interpretation kind of art. V&A that covers quite a lot. It covers fashion, it covers music. At one point it covered like textiles. I remember going to, I am not interested in woodwork at all, and at the time I had an under 25 membership, so I thought I'll just go there because it's technically a free exhibition and it'll be a good day out, and like the general parts of V&A that are there permanently are really lovely to visit anyway. And I ended up going to this woodwork exhibition about like the evolution of how they made like wood models, and how they made ships and planes.
Yeah, and I was like,
this isn't something that I would have planned to have come to, but the way they run it is very good. The best exhibition they've ever done is Pink Floyd exhibition.
Oh, so mine's Alexander McQueen one, which was incredible.
Well, I have two. The reason why I like the Pink Floyd exhibition, obviously big fan of Pink Floyd, but the way they ran it with, you got this headset, and the headset, I don't know if it tracked you, but like it would change what it was talking about as you're walking through. Like if you went into one room, it'd automatically just change. And then start
struggling.
And then you could go back to a room you've already gone to before and it would track you again and start repeating that room. And then the other one that I liked for my 18th, I went to their Talking About Our Generation exhibition, which was like Woodstock kind of era, Dusty Springfield, Blank Panthers. And you got to the very end and they had recreated Woodstock. They had like this fake grass. They had like Mama Cass's dress. They had the Jimi Hendrix outfits with his guitar, and they were projecting the Woodstock film, and you could sit there, and they went, you can stay for as long as you like. There's like blankets on the floor.
Cool.
And the whole Woodstock documentary is about a good 3 hours long.
Yeah.
You could sit there, you could buy drinks at the end of this exhibition. And I was like, what is this?
So fun. Yeah, there's like they do some incredible exhibitions there, and I think quite often they're like they tour them around, so they have them at the Met and things. But yeah, I loved the Alexander McQueen one they've done there. But to be honest, there's just so much rich stuff that I would just like have a massive wonder and just like there's a lot to take in. But it's a really cool and unique exhibition, and just the building itself is amazing to go and see.
The architecture of London museums. Well, I think just like central London, like. Mm-hmm. Could be I don't have to go out for drinks, I don't have to go out and buy any money, just like walking around and just looking at
I think that's part of it, isn't it? Just like if you're going to London, just wander. And obviously because the V&A is like opposite Harrods again, it's just fun just to wander around just because it's just like opulent and just again the building is just really impressive, I think, and that's just quite fun. After that, where would you suggest people go?
Oh well, for afternoon tea, if you
feel like you have to do that if you're in London, even though like Londoners don't really do it at all.
No, I've seen there's quite a few different ways you can do afternoon tea, where there's people that go on trains that are like hosted for afternoon
tea. Yeah, they do more like the London buses and stuff, don't they?
Well, I went through a really weird phase when I was in college of watching ITV Selfridges about Mrs. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, I remember that one.
Because he ultimately brought department stores over to the UK. So I went to Selfridges and had afternoon tea at Selfridges, and lovely afternoon tea, lovely cutlery, lovely just everything.
My main recommendation if you really want to do an afternoon tea, which I feel like also it's very like special, like it's a very special thing just to do when you're in London, like they do it well.
Yeah.
At the Barclay, they have, which is a hotel, Southwest London, they have this tea called the Pret-a-Porter tea, and it's based around the fashions of the season. So they do like biscuits in the shape of different, they pick pieces from the catwalk and then base the tea on those pieces. But it actually tastes amazing as well. So I would definitely recommend that if you're like a fashionista and want to come to London.
Oh, so Vogue. So Vogue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And yes, I think after that, I'd probably wander then either go for afternoon tea or go to Borough Market and just have a wander around there, because that's, again, just a really fun place just to sit and people watch and hang.
I think, have you got any hidden gems of London?
I've got a lot of hidden gems, I think, of restaurants. I think if you're coming to London, just pay the subscription and go on The Nudge, which is one of the best websites to like explore London. I think actually what's really worth doing is going to Hampstead Heath and having a wander around there and being able to look across London and see the views. I think definitely go, as Taylor Swift says, Shoreditch in the afternoon, go and have a wander around Box Park. And just to kind of soak in the atmosphere, like Shoreditch and Camden are just really fun areas to, just kind of soak up the atmosphere, I guess. And just, there are some really cool and edgy places around there. I think in terms of like exhibitions and stuff, there's stuff that you can do in terms of galleries and museums. I think the Imperial War Museum is still one of my favorite museums. I think the Tate is incredible, but I wouldn't recommend it. I think I'd probably just stick with like the Tate proper rather than the Tate Britain and the Tate Modern. I feel like it depends if you're a first timer, all the main galleries are like based around Trafalgar Square and then Kensington and Chelsea, so you can pretty much stick to those areas. I think one of my main tips would be just to try and get really like tickets last minute for everything. So a lot of the museums and galleries you can do for free, but things like the Globe, I wouldn't probably buy tickets in advance. Like you used to be, before the pandemic, used to be able to queue pretty much last minute and get like £5 tickets and just go in on the floor, which is just really fun to go and do. So I think that would be my main tip for people, is just don't overbook, because there's so much to do in London that you can actually do a lot of it last minute.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my, and in terms of restaurants and all that stuff, I mean, you have to go to Dishoom because it's just the best. You have to go to Padella again because it's incredible. But I don't think you can go wrong with anything that's on The Nudge. Couldn't recommend it enough. It's one of the best websites for recommending anything current in London in terms of restaurants and cocktails. That's my rant over. So in terms of like, but if you're preparing yourself to go to London for the first time, are there any things that you would like, you think are really authentic? So I know we've spoken in the past about how quite often people do get it very wrong, the perception of London.
Yeah.
It's a lot more multicultural here than anyone ever gives it credit for, I think. I think it's one of the most multicultural cities in the world.
I think so. I do have mixed feelings about reading books that are set in London, because mm-hmm. sometimes it can be very, very bright, very diverse, very up to date. And other times it's just, I'm just going to randomly throw in Cockney slang. I'm going to be really posh. I'm going to, like, a popular theme is like having a really low paid job, but somehow being able to afford like a central London apartment.
Oh God, yeah.
What's one of your top books that you would say is truly reflective of London at the moment?
I think probably Brick Lane by Monica Ali. Obviously Brick Lane is like a really just a cool area of London. And I think this is quite an iconic read that I think a lot of people have read. And I think it won lots and lots of different awards. It's kind of about a woman like raising her children in Brick Lane in North London. And kind of her struggles, because she's from Bangladesh, and kind of just like moving, like just kind of trying to fit in, find her place in London. I think that one is probably one of the best depictions, I think, of London, and from a very honest gaze, I think.
Yeah. I think one for me where, not diverse in race, but diverse, I think, more in class, because you can have some lovely parts of London, mm-hmm. Some really exquisite, rich parts. Then you can also have some really deprived areas.
Yeah.
Where just like average families are living.
And often they are quite close to those rich areas.
Yeah, they're literally
like, it's very mixed up.
Yeah. And it's a book that I didn't realise was a book until my friend brought it out, because I watched it as the film, mm-hmm. and a Hugh Grant film, about a boy by Nick Hornby. Where obviously in the film you have Hugh Grant play the main character of, he's this quite rich guy, he's living off his parents or his royalties, and he just doesn't work, and then somehow he gets twisted up in the life of this single mother who really struggles with mental health, and basically pretends that he's the dad of her son to pick up. But like underneath that, like seeing the part where he visits the boy's house and he's like, you seriously live here? This is where you and your mum live, and this is the school you go to? Like, I don't think he even realised that part of London existed.
Yeah.
Of people who are like living in like council estate houses.
Yeah.
And literally just getting by with council rent. So I really did like that. And I like that they deal with quite a serious issue of mental health through them, but the comedy between him and the boy balance it out, I think, in a very, very good way.
Yeah.
What other kind of book would you maybe recommend to someone before they
I was thinking about this and I was like, I really enjoyed Bill Bryson's Notes from a Small Island, which is kind of like American. It's very funny if you're a Brit to read it, and all the weird things that people notice about the UK and how like it's strange little quirks. And I think if I was traveling here, it's one of those books that I'd probably read after I'd been here to kind of be like, oh yeah, that is funny. That's a funny quirk. Or as a UK citizen, I think it's hilarious. Obviously, Bill Bryson talks like very fondly. It's a travel book and he talks very fondly about his like experience traveling around the UK. But it's still like charmingly mocking and it is funny. And I really would recommend that to anyone, because I think it's just really, it's just like a lighthearted, really fun read. Yeah. I also read The Line of Beauty by Alan Hollinghurst, which is just like, as someone who's lived in London, again, it's just kind of nice to read and kind of find the little bits of London that you probably forgot. It might have won the Booker Prize back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah. 2004. That is back in the day.
And that is. I've just done that.
Jesus. So it's based in three parts. So in 1980s, it's based in the 1980s, and it's about the guy called Nick and kind of, I guess his like experiences with his sexuality. He's gay and like his life living in London. It's about the tension between his like relationship with this particular family, and I just thought it was kind of like it is just London is almost like I always thought like another character in it, and it was just very charming. So I would recommend that. Are there any other books that you would?
I've got one that's like based in London, but I wouldn't say it's mm-hmm. London's character in it. So this really weird book that my mum got me at Christmas, where it's very like those like, kind of like Cecilia Ahern kind of covers, mm-hmm. and she's just very much like, I picked this up for you because the cover is pretty, and I was like, that's not how books work, but okay. So she got me this book called A Parcel for Anne Brown by Miranda Dickinson, mm-hmm. and I was reading this book and I was expecting it to be very whimsical Cecilia Ahern, because mm-hmm. it's very artwork. And halfway through I was like, what on earth is this? It's about a woman who she works in an office, she's a receptionist, she's just like plodding mm-hmm. along with her life, and then she starts getting these like really expensive gifts sent to her like anonymously, and at first you're like, oh, this is kind of sweet, and then halfway through like, this is a bit stalkerish actually, and it turns into like a crime thriller that she's getting stalked.
And
I was like, this bright, shiny, pink and blue cover was very misleading to my mother in Asda.
That's so weird.
And it's like the kind of book where I haven't read it because I'm like, oh, the suspense. I've read it because I'm like, what on earth? How on earth is this going to be tied together at the end?
Yeah.
But then when you figure out who it is at the end, you're just like, very like glittery crime is all I can like describe it as. Glittery crime. Ooh.
I like that.
And it's just like the background is just London, I think, just to...
I always like a thing which is a bit twisty, where you're like not expecting it.
Yeah, yeah. What have you got any other more reads that you would...
I don't think so. I think I was thinking about TV shows and films that kind of portray it accurately. And the two which really sprung to mind, well, the three, I guess, that really sprung to mind on me. For One Is in a Funeral, which I think is like so accurate because it's so gritty in its portrayal of London. It's not like... sugar-coated. It is like London's a kooky place that has like a lot of characters and everyone, and it kind of was more real, like their flats wouldn't be that lovely if they were a journalist, or I can't remember what all their jobs were, but like it was more accurate of what life would actually be like. Paddington, obviously, it's just nice just to see all the like landmarks in the background. I always found that just like, I'm like, oh, that's happening in the like the Natural History Museum, things like that. And then Bridget Jones. I mean, how she affords that flat, though, I don't know. But it's a good film based in London.
Oh, it so is. And I just like the part of how she just like randomly lives, obviously, like a Greek restaurant. And I'm like, yeah, like if you're going to have a nice flat, chances are you can't be living on top of a restaurant in London.
Is there any you'd add to that?
Oh, Love Actually.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Love Actually. I don't know. Like, I wish Hugh Grant was the Prime Minister. I so wish he was. Love Actually, again, just I think because set in London, but they're different aspects of London. I don't know if like, you've picked up on this, like, especially in films. I've never known it to snow in London around Christmas time.
Thank you. That is one of my pet peeves, which we've got on the list of our, like, well, I guess that comes to the top of my brain. London hardly ever snows.
It gets slushy.
It doesn't. It's too hot and it's too polluted and it doesn't snow and it doesn't get cold enough. That's number one. And also we don't, on that note, it doesn't always rain here. It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, I think for some reason there's like the assumption that like every London man is like suited and booted and walking around London
and ridiculously good looking and posh, which is just also not true. I think that was one of our other things, is like a lot of TV shows always portray it as like the very like Kensington and Chelsea is like the, that's what they focus on, and they don't focus on the diversity that is in London.
No, I think for them, diversity is, you've got Made in Chelsea, you've got Queen's English, or you've got Dick Van Dyke's Cockney accent. And those are the only two.
That might have been like 300 years ago, but now it's quite a lot more multicultural than that. And actually, half the accents I hear around London aren't posh, they aren't Cockney. It's half the time it's actually just different languages you're hearing.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like everyone's still under the assumption that like London is Mary Poppins, Oliver Twist, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. It's like, that was a few hundred years ago, but okay, yeah, we still live like that, yeah.
Yeah. Because as well, like, I've noticed it a lot in, like, I do like a good, decent, like, London gangster film mm-hmm. in comparison to American gangster film. And yes, at one point, Cockney rhyme slang was a thing. I don't personally hear anyone use it anymore. So
no, no one uses it at all. Like, I would know a few phrases, but I would never use them. I think the only one that springs to my mind of phrases that I'd use is like, have a butch.
What?
Well, have a look. Have a look. And it rhymes with butcher's hook. And so they shorten it to have a butch.
I literally only know apples and pears, and that only comes out when I'm
And I don't Adam and Eve it, but no one would actually say that.
No, and like when they say it in films, like I'll be watching the film and they'll get to that part or with like it'll be a character that has like an EastEnders accent mm-hmm. and say that like you're all right, and I'm just like, oh no,
no, don't do it, don't do it. Right, so I think that's like that, and then just I mean Friends, that episode in Friends was the one where I was like, it just made me laugh because Fergie appears at one point and then like Richard Branson's like an extra in it, and it's just, well, it's that, funny.
That whole season of Friends is my least favourite season of Friends purely because of Emily.
I know. Because the accent is so fake.
The accent is so fake, and she's, it's not just her in it, it's her, her mum and her dad are all given this very stuck up snobby character. Yeah. Which would have worked well if it was just Emily, but the fact that it was everyone that was around Emily, who was also British, and I was like, oh, I really don't like this character, I really don't like this season. Like, yeah, it wasn't my fave. Not to say it's a bad season, it just wasn't my fave.
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and it was like, but of course, they got to do things, because obviously it's an American TV show. They got to do things like Joey and Chandler growing on like the tourism buses and getting the hats and all stuff like that. But yeah, the only good thing to come out of that season was Monica and Chandler.
Yeah. That's You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That. I'll never get over that season, but that's the story for another day. I guess, do you have any other recommendations for people coming to London for the first time?
I have two hidden museums that I think might be people's cups of tea. one was that I only found about like 5 years ago because of Amy Winehouse. So after Amy Winehouse had passed away, there was adverts for an Amy Winehouse exhibition. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's probably going to be at like somewhere like V&A because of their music exhibitions. Mm-hmm. It was at the London Jewish Museum.
Okay.
Because she was Jewish.
Yeah.
And I went there, and obviously went there for the exhibition. I was like, okay, well, I'm here, I might as well look around at everything else. Yeah. Because you do in London, like you try and make a day out of it. And such a lovely museum of like, because my knowledge was very limited on Jewish people outside World Wars.
Yeah.
And it's such a lovely museum. And so that's quite a hidden museum. I really like that one. And the Handel & Hendricks Museum.
Oh, okay.
Where you've got Handel, for people who don't know who Handel is, Baroque composer who done the Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He lived in a flat, and then dead on 100 years later, Jimi Hendrix moved in the flat above.
Oh, man.
It was the last flat that Jimi Hendrix ever lived in before he passed away. It's such a lovely museum. Like, the way they've recreated it, is amazing, because with Handel, there's no biography. He mysteriously burnt all of his own diaries before he passed away. So how his apartment looks has only been researched through like his letters from other composers and like donations. And so with Jimi Hendrix, they've been able to recreate it because because Kathy Etchingham, who was Jimi Hendrix's last girlfriend before he passed away, helped the museum to recreate it because she also lived there as well. And he done in loads of photo shoots and interviews in this apartment. And it's very weird because I met her because she comes to the museum quite often, and I used to volunteer at the museum. And she's like, it's really weird every single time we come back here how like exactly looks like how I it was when I lived here. And I was like, oh, did you get all of your things from like markets and that around here? She went, most of my stuff was from John Lewis. Jimi Hendrix going to John Lewis and buying rugs and bedding blows my mind.
Interesting.
And the fact that he would watch Coronation Street.
That's so funny.
Because obviously Coronation Street was happening at the same time, but I just never think of guitar rock music.
Yeah.
And
that's so, yeah, you just don't think about their normal lives, do you?
No. So that's very much a hidden gem. And it's right near Oxford Circus. So you can go and do some like shopping afterwards. One thing I do love doing in the Oxford Circus, I don't like doing it at my local shopping centre. I love doing it in London, window shopping. I like the expensive gowns.
Fortnum and Mason's is always the one that has the best windows.
Yeah, and I'm just like, why can't I be like the people in Crazy Rich Asians right now?
Oh, it's funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think if I have any more recommendations. I think Fortnum and Mason's, just like going for a shop. If you want to go for an amazing book, stores, the one next door, Hatchards, is one of my favorite bookstores in London, as well as all the Daunce bookshops. They're always amazing. Let us know though, give us an email for any other things that you would add to our list, and we'll see if we can get those added to the show notes. And yeah, just let us know whether you've got any more London recommendations. We'd love to hear them, because we're always looking for more London recommendations. In terms of this week, what have you been reading?
Oh, so I've been reading this really dramatic book. It's called The Ice Cream Girls, mm-hmm, by Dorothy Kimson. It's about the story of a girl called Poppy who's just been released from prison. And you're finding out why she's been released from prison. That apparently she's killed her, when she was a teenager, she killed her teacher that she was apparently having an affair with. And then as the book evolves, actually he was having an affair with two students. The two girls became best friends. And then as they were talking to each other, they both figured out that each other was being abused by this teacher. And for so long, the other girl thought, well, Poppy's definitely killed him. The statement, all the evidence is proving it. Like, I can't believe this girl who I've built this friendship with over this domestic abuse relationship has killed this person. I can't believe she's a killer. And then Poppy's been released. She gets released when she's like 40 years old, and then the real killer steps forward. And who the real killer is like, you just sit there and you're like, I can't believe she let Poppy take the blame. The original killer let this 16-year-old.
I'm adding that to my list. That sounds good.
It's really good. It got made into an ITV drama a few years ago, so I'm going to weekend watching the ITV drama. I do like a good ITV drama. What I like about ITV dramas is that they never cast really famous, recognisable actors. Mm-hmm. So I can sit there and I can actually get into the flow of watching this show and be like, oh, this is Poppy, this is so-and-so. Whereas if it's an actor or actress that's too famous, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's just...
You can't get into the zone.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's just Felicity Jones. That's just like David Tennant. And I don't see them as the character, which isn't their fault. It's just because they're so widely popular and well-known. Mm-hmm. I can't see them outside of themselves. What else have you been reading this week?
I'm reading quite a bit. So I've read this collection of essays called Our Woman on the Ground, which was edited by Christine Amanpour. And it's a collection of essays based on... by Arab women reporting on the Middle East. It's kind of all about their different experiences, like the hardships that they've faced, the kind of obstacles that they've had to face in order to report. It's very harrowing, and it makes you you just realize just how complex that area is. So I've been really enjoying that. It's definitely one that you have to like read one essay and then go in and think about it, and then read another one and then go in and think about it. But really enjoying that. I've also read Accidentally Engaged, which was just like a light rom-com, and I loved that. It was by Farah Heron, who I haven't really read before. But just, it was just very charming. And if someone wants a summer beachy read, that is high on my list. And then I also read Girl A by Abigail Dean, which is like, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a thriller because you know what happens at the start, but it's more like a kind of fictional true crime. That's what it feels like. And it's based around the girl A is the narrator, and she's talking about her childhood, where she was basically like abused and tortured by her birth parents, her and her siblings. And it's kind of half many years later and looking back on it, and then knowing what to do. Basically it starts off that the mother has died, and it's kind of her grappling with her feelings about it. And it was really good. I really, really recommend it. I do love those books though, which have a mystery, and obviously this doesn't have a mystery element. But definitely recommend that. Is there anything you've been listening or watching this week?
What have I been watching? I haven't really been watching any. I think when I put on the TV, all I see is football, and I'm just like, enough. It's not coming home. I've been listening to, there's a Essex Book Festival going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to some of the podcasts from that. What I like about the festival is, at the moment, it's a bit bittersweet. It's because I do like the events of, like, you go to like the author events, the author talk about the book, mm-hmm. they talk about anything they're working on, but because they're in Essex, it'd be like, one's in Southend, one's in Chelmsford, one's over here, and they're like a good hour and a half drive sometimes.
Yeah.
And now, because of COVID, they're all virtual.
It's quite nice, actually.
And every seat is a front row seat when you're virtual. Mm-hmm. So I've booked a ticket to listen to Claire Fuller, who wrote a book called Bitter Orange, which is also set in the English countryside, and it's about mm-hmm. a woman who's come from London. She moves to the countryside to escape something. Yeah. Difficult. Then you find out, gasp. So I'm very excited to listen to her and see what other books she's been working on lately. And I like a good book festival. Music festivals. Is there anything music wise or other podcast wise that you've been listening to?
I'm trying to think. Podcast-wise, not a lot. I've been, like, rediscovering the Stephen Fry Harry Potter audiobooks, if I'm honest, which is just, like, a throwback to my childhood. And then I've really been loving diving into this new artist called Taylor Edwards. I really like her stuff. It's very, like, Josh Curry. Everyone knows my obsession with Josh Kerr. Yeah, I can't really say that I think because I've been in the countryside and like socializing with people, I haven't actually been listening to that much. I've just been reading. But yeah, that's been my week. And then hopefully, yeah, I'll finish this collection of essays, and then I'm going to start White Ivy by Susie Yang tonight. So yeah. Is there anything else before we wrap up this week's episode?
I think that's everything. I just really hope that July is a good month.
It will be.
That there's no more bad news in July. I just want, I'm ready for COVID to start to ease up, for lockdown to stop. I'm not too eager to start going on foreign holidays. I think I'm very much going to have staycations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite glad about that. Like, the amount of reading I've done during lockdown. And I tried to get out of the habit of reading books that are based in England that were based in cities.
Yeah.
And I'm like, reading about all these lovely places. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Guernsey. It's a book called the Guernsey Literacy.
Literary Potato Peel by Society.
Yeah. I normally just call it the Potato Peelers book. but it makes me want to go to Guernsey now.
Yeah.
which I hope counts as UK. I mean, I know it's close to France, but
yeah, it does.
I have to do a 10-day isolation when I come back. So yeah.
Well, do you want to let people know where they can find you?
Well, people can find me making jumpers with three arms and no neck on Instagram at hey_it'smadeline. Where can our listeners find you?
They can find me at Imogen L. Marshall or at offtherecorduk.com for all your music and book recommendations. That's all there. So have a great week, everyone. Bye, everyone. I'm going to cut out that bye. Cool. I will stop recording.